We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Today, we're going to be talking about Hecate. And I am just racked with this overwhelming sense of uncertainty and unease. And I feel like when speaking about Hecate personally, I remember the first time someone brought up Hecate. We were doing a TikTok live stream, right? And someone brought up Hecate. And that was the first time I ever heard that name. And I remember reading it on the screen and not knowing how to pronounce this goddess's name. And that was my first ever impression of her, ever. And ever since then, I feel like every time I feel the energy of Hecate, when I hear her name, I have just this biggest bomb ass goddess, female, divine, feminine energy ever. And it makes me so nervous, like fangirly kind of nervous of like, I'm not worthy. Like insert the little tiny goblin demons that work for Hades in the Disney movie Hercules. That's how I feel every time I feel like Hecate or anyone talks about Hecate, you know? So personally, my life right now, I feel like you could define how I feel life in my existence as Olivia the medium is just liminal space. And I have been introduced to this word liminal space very recently. And the first time I heard it, I was like trying to figure out contextually what that word means. And I've had friends that have been able to explain it to me too. And I finally looked up the definition as well. Liminal space is defined as, quote, occupying a position at or on both sides of a boundary or threshold. And the second definition is relating to a transitional or initial stage of a process. And that is what the goddess Hecate represents. In and of itself, in a nutshell, if you start to like break everything down underneath the umbrella of liminal space, that is what Hecate, the uncanny goddess, is all about. And I just am so intimidated by it. And my life is so just overwhelmed with the alignment of energy of the liminal. It's ridiculous, which is why I feel like I've been so nervous to talk about this podcast because I feel like it's very personal. But also, I've realized over the course of 5 years of doing this professionally, like being within the spiritual community professionally, that Hecate has become like a pop culture icon of a goddess, if you will. And I am like a big freaking sap for just the classical or the historical or the old things. And I've been trying to discern Hecate of the new age versus Hecate of where she came from, like the history and the essence of Hecate and who she is. So that's why I've been taking so long to research this podcast over the last 2 weeks. I don't know if it's going to be one part or two, but I'm going to try to cover the history of Hecate as best as I can in today's podcast. The pressure is overwhelming. So one of the things I was trying to focus on in this podcast, and the reason I feel so like trepidatious about it, I guess, is because I don't know whether to structure the podcast around Hecate and the historical facts about her that you, the listeners, can use to incorporate into your own spiritual practice however you see fit or not, depending on how you jive with the energy and alignment of Hecate, versus like me talking about how I feel her energy influences or aligns with mine. I'll get into more of like why that sounds so weird maybe to all of you in a second, but like I was trying to figure out, should this be more of how I feel that I work with Hecate and that she works with me, I feel like is more the way I should say it, how she is influencing my life or helping me to guide me in the right direction at this point in time? Or should I focus more on just like the facts and aspects of Hecate herself? So I'm going to try and do both of that to the best of my abilities because I've asked you guys, the listeners, what it is that you want from me when it comes to this type of information, how to present it, factual or relatable. I'm going to try and blend both of those the best way that I can. So, life right now, I feel like I'm just a carrot floating within the liminal outer space of existence. I am struggling with transitions in my life, and I feel like I've always struggled with transitions, but I've always had this sort of like take the bull by the horns mentality when it came to like bucking up and dealing with change in my life. However, I've been trying to ask myself why it's so hard for me to let go of old things and embrace new things, at least in like this point in my life. Embracing things that are new is scary. And I've been figuring out that when I was a child, my mother told me to never give up and to never quit. Super great freaking like life wisdom, right? Never give up, never quit, always try your best. That was what my mom used to tell me. However, what does change look like and feel like when movement in a new direction once felt like quitting? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the reason one of the I'm struggling with embracing change within the liminal space that is my life right now is because I feel I always associated change with quitting. Like you have to leave one thing in order to start something else. And if you leave that one thing, then you're quitting it, right? And you give up on them. Like you can never just give up on something and then just move on. Like that's not something that I can do. And I think that's why it's been so hard for me over the past few years in order to embrace change in a better way. Because change, I need to tell myself, and maybe if you guys need to listen to it too, isn't quitting. It's leaving the things that don't serve you and just moving on and embracing the things that do serve you. That's not quitting. It's not a bad thing. But my visceral response is, no, you're quitting. You're letting everyone down. And this is a bad thing. And I think that's why I've been so caught up on the idea of Hecate. I feel like she has been helping to stand with me in this time, which also is another really cool thing about Hecate, at least my interpretation. If you guys, let me give this disclaimer too. If you guys feel that you have different ideas of how Hecate shows up in your life, let me know in the comments below. Also, let that take precedence over what I say, because at the end of the day, we're talking about energy in and of itself, which again, I'm going to talk more about how I view gods and deities as more so energy than things or separate energetic embodiments of their own sort of thing, which that could be argued as well. But let the way that you have Hecate in your life or that you feel you interact with their energy take precedence over me, because your interactions with them can be very different and just as valid as mine. I feel like one of the things that is so cool about Hecate to me is she's not a goddess who does things for you. The feeling that I get from her is that she stands with you. She's not telling you which way to go. She's not giving you directions, and she's not moving your hand, if you will. She is simply there to exist with you while you go through the process yourself. Like that one friend that you need to just like absolutely blurt everything out and get everything off your chest, and they don't say anything, they're just there for you. That's how I feel Hecate is for me. So I do want to say a special thanks to the internet for helping me with my research, and specifically a really lovely YouTuber by the name of Fel the Blythe. She was fabulous, and I will have her video that I learned a lot of things about Hecate on in the description below or in the show notes, depending on where you're listening, on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. So go show her some love and watch her videos on Hecate, because I recommend. Now, as I mentioned before, Hecate is the goddess of the uncanny, meaning things which that evoke a sense of unease, which I think is hilarious. Maybe hence the unease that I have for this podcast. Now, this is the time I wanted to pause and take a second to remind you guys that in podcasts of the past, we talked about gods and deities. Who came first? We had the Chronos, or not Chronos, the Chaos podcasts. And just like, in my opinion, deities are the romanticized, idolic interpretation of human existence. That all goes back to who came first, the gods or the humans. And I feel like that could be argued forever, but I do feel that both could be true. Gods and humans existed like simultaneously, and it was like the character development of one therefore created the character development of the other, but like hand in hand, like simultaneously in a tandem fashion. So I feel like when we talk about gods and deities, it is human existence that is going to be personified to a god or goddess status in order to understand and just like live with the existence of life itself. That's kind of how I view gods and deities. So this is where I wanted to talk about my interpretation of Hecate. When we think about like the Hellenistic idea of Hecate, and I'm going to tell you right now, Hellenism, if that's a new word to you, it is a type of religion. It is not like a religion that, what was it? There were some comments I was reading where people were like, is that the worship of hell? No, Hellenism is specifically, let me look through my notes. I wrote it down because I'm easier to remember things if I write them down. Hellenistic era was a period in ancient Greek history following the death of Alexander the Great in 323 BC, marked by the widespread diffusion of Greek culture across the territories Alexander the Great conquered in the Middle East and Egypt, therefore blending Greek customs with those of other cultures and the religion until the rise of the Roman Empire around 30 BCE. So Hellenism literally means Greek-like, and it comes from the Greek derivation of Hellene, meaning Greek. So that is what Hellenism is. So when it comes back to my idea of gods and deities, do I think they are this separate spiritual entity, or do I think that they're more energy that flows with an alignment of people? I think both ways are a good way to look at gods or deities. See, I feel conflicted by this because in my own spiritual practice, my own identity of spiritualism, I would think that Hecate is more so like finding a vein within a rock quarry. So like a vein of all of these beautiful dark crystals, like goldens and browns and blacks and things like that. But that doesn't mean that within the quarry or the mine, there aren't different like veins of different crystals. I think that Hecate, her essence, her existence, her energy lies within an energy that is aligned with the things that she represents. Does that make sense? Like things that she represents as the liminal, as the goddess of the uncanny, as the goddess of transitions. That's basically an easier way to understand what liminal space is. It's transitions from one transition to the next. So I think her energy aligns with the energy of those things, transitions. However, when I have talked to clients, when I do psychic medium readings, and they bring up such as like, I work with, we're just going to stick with the example of Hecate. I work with Hecate. Do you think that she is listening to the things that I have been talking to her about or petitioning to her, whatever it is that your practice is? And I don't know anything about like petitioning gods or deities or like working with them in a more like praxis sort of way, which is just like practical applications of historical teachings, etc. I don't know anything about that because that's not something that I physically do. I'm just a medium. I talk to souls and spirits, but I have had deity step forward in a way that is synonymous to the way Hellenistic, I believe, cultures would view them. So like actually this manifestation of how we would perceive or someone would perceive Hecate would come forward and be like, hey girl, yeah, I got all what, like all the stuff that you were talking about. So it freaks me out because I've experienced, like, personally, I like to think that Hecate is an energy flow, but when other people petition or work with gods or deities, I have had them come up to me and speak to me as what you would imagine they would be, if that makes sense, like it's some sort of movie, and it freaks me out. So I'm not going to say one is more alike than the other. I'm just going to say that personally in my spiritual practice, I like to think both are true. But I lean towards the idea of my life is existing within energy that's associated with things that Hecate deals with. So therefore, her alignment of energy can help me. I don't know. I guess I'm trying to say this in order to give more ways to view things in different perspectives, I guess. Not just, yeah, I talk to Hecate all the time and she looks like this goddess with long dark brown hair and she's got two torches and a big old black dog next to her and she stands in the middle of a crossroad and whispers like, you gotta go east to me. Like, because that's not always how I interpret things, but it's all up to you and how you work with Hecate and sort of exist within that energy. So let's move on now to what Hecate is actually the goddess of. All of those little tiny terms underneath the umbrella of transitions or liminal space. So Hecate is the goddess of the uncanny. She's kind of like the Schrodinger's cat of things, so to speak, or she represents the Schrodinger's cat of things. You know, is the cat is in the box with stuff. Is it alive? Is it not alive? It's up to you. It depends on where you want to step off the ledge or take a turn into the transition. So Hecate is the goddess of the crossroads, the night, magic, which we're going to talk about, ghosts and souls, the underworld, and she's also the goddess of brides, the threshold to homes. She's the keeper of keys, and she's also the goddess of life and death, as well as something, I believe it's a Greek term, chorotrophos. So chorotrophos means the caretaker of young children. That's a lot of things to be a goddess for, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole heck of a lot of things to be a part of. So like the thing that's been bothering me the most, if we're going back to like pop culture references or like ideology and mainstream spirituality nowadays, if you look up Hecate, you're going to see that she's like the goddess of witchcraft and the goddess of the underworld and the goddess of the night and the moon and like ghosts and stuff. But you're not going to find really like the threshold, the caretaker of the young, the protector of lost souls. It's just a lot. It's a lot of nuances that I think as time has gone on, if you're going with the same train of thought of like gods and deities are created as the romanticized idols of human existence, as human existence goes on, the epithets or the things that the gods and goddesses are associated to are going to change because they also change with the people, because without the people, you don't have the gods, and without the gods, you don't have the people. You know what I'm saying? So it just seems like today Hecate has become something of a pop culture idol in mainstream spirituality. And I want to try and discern the old from the new. I feel like a lot of you could give me a lesson on the new age Hecate, but I'm a stick in the mud and a fan of the classics. So we're going to go straight into the history of Hecate, or the history that shaped Hecate. Let's start with who her parents are, which might actually surprise you. Because Hecate is known as a goddess, right? Well, her dad is Perses, who is the Titan of Destruction. Literally, his name means like to rampage and all this other like destructive things. And her mom is Asteria, who is the Titaness of Falling Stars, meaning that Hecate was technically a Titaness, which is pretty freaking cool. She's not just a goddess. There's like, I guess, three series of how you go from Titan to like god to like demigod type of thing. And yeah, when you look at the theogony, Hecate technically is still a Titaness, meaning that she is above Zeus, which is kind of cool. However, there are other texts that cite that Zeus is the father of Hecate, and then her mom is maybe Asteria, or maybe Demeter, or maybe that Hecate is a offspring of Nyx and someone else. But the biggest, most presiding mythology, genealogy of Hecate is that her dad was Perseus and her mom was Asteria, which is really freaking cool. It kind of makes a lot of sense if her dad was the Titan of destruction and her mom was the Titaness of falling stars. I don't know, just because she's associated with the moon a lot and night. So it makes a little bit of sense. There's a lot of crossover that we're going to get into with other gods and deities as well. Let's talk about a little bit of the misconceptions of Hecate herself. So one of them is as a triad goddess, which is most notably the maiden, the mother, and the crone, which is cited as MMC in literature. And I think that one's interesting because you'll sometimes see Hecate depicted in statues or literature where she has three faces or three heads or there's three sides to her. However, the original reason that there was three sides given to Hecate, specifically more so in like statues, was because she is the goddess of crossroads, right? As well as the threshold and the keeper of the keys, protecting people from people or things that could hurt them. So there used to be Hecatea statues that were created both in people's homes as well as at crossroads and at certain temples that had three sides. So she was supposed to see like all three sides, or all encompassing, like have the vantage point of protection, if you will. And I think maybe that might be one of the reasons why Hecate has been given the idea of being maiden, mother, crone, because she's not seen that way historically speaking when it comes to like her original time, which is the Hellenistic era. So the other reason people believe that she's associated with the maiden, mother, crone is because there was this dude, a poet. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him. I had not until researching this, but his name is Robert Graves. He lived from 1895 to 1985, and living through that time period, let me tell you, that's got to be wild. A lot of trauma, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of triumphs maybe too. But Robert Graves was a British man, I believe, and he did a lot of retellings of Greek mythologies. Specifically, he studied classical understanding of Greek mythology. And we sort of have to go back and understand where Hecate originated from. She originated from mostly, if you're looking at like old Greek philosophical texts-ish, because I guess Hesiod isn't Greek, he's actually Turkish. But if you look at like Ovid and Homer and things like that, and Hesiod, they all had like the ideas of Greek mythology, right? However, when we're looking at the anthropological evidence of where Hecate actually had a presence, it was most notably in Turkey. There was only a small little area in Greece where she was mentioned, and then another super small area in Sicily. Isn't that crazy? It's like, if you're thinking about like Alexander the Great, right? He like moved all the way across almost into India before he died of like typhoid or malaria, which is an interesting thing to think about. I used to have a teacher that told me, or would tell the class, that if Alexander the Great wouldn't have gotten bit by a mosquito, we would have Greek food today instead of Chinese food. Like, something so common is what caused his death and then the end of his empire. But because of that, you know, Egypt, Greece, Turkey, Italy, all of those things had Greek influence. So when we're talking back to when the idea of Hecate changed, because again, gods and deities change with people and people change because of gods and deities, etc. It's literally just a hand-in-hand type of relationship. Excuse me while I keep turning my pages. You also had the classical age. So Robert Graves, this guy who ended up being a super big poet and of retelling Greek mythologies, he specifically studied Greek mythology of the Classical Age. Now, the Classical Age was a period in history spanning from 1750 to 1820 in which society embraced and was influenced very much so by the culture of ancient Greece and Rome. So classical Hecate was influenced literally from the downfall of Alexander the Great up until the rise of the Roman Empire, which was in like 30 CE, right? So I'm sure once the Roman Empire came around in 30 BC, all of those Hellenistic Greek Alexandrian ideas of mythology and gods and deities in the pantheon were changed because the culture changed. And then you're going to have this romanticized idyllic image change again during the classical period. And that is what Robert Graves studied. So he ended up writing a book called The White Goddess that was published in 1948. And the maiden, the mother, and the crone is specifically where that idea of Hecate comes from, because it was his sort of representation of the three stages of a woman's life. And this also, I guess Robert Graves, I don't know anything about Wicca, but Robert Graves was said to very heavily influence Wicca, which I think is interesting, which I also know the maiden, the mother, and the crone are very, very, very influential ideas or aspects of Wicca. That's really the only thing I know. And I think, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Wicca is more about like ceremonial magic versus non-ceremonial magic. But those are the only two things that I know from not ever looking at anything about Wicca, really, just existing around its presence. So it's interesting that Robert Graves gave the analogy of the maiden, the mother, and the crone to have the triune goddess, but she really wasn't a triune goddess at all. Hecate is just Hecate, and the only statues are the Hecatea that were put at crossroads and thresholds in order to have like a sense of protection, because she is the keeper of the keys and she is the goddess of the threshold and crossroads, transitions, protecting people in those stages of their lives. The other thing interesting about the maiden, mother, crone misconception of Hecate is that Hecate was always a maiden goddess. She never ever had kids. There's only like one or two anecdotal stories that say that maybe she had a kid and it came out to be something else. But those are like very, 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 very small little blips in the history of Hecate herself. And now I could understand where Robert Graves gets the idea of the maiden, the mother, the crone triune for her, because she deals with brides and births and children. So then you could be like, oh, she's the maiden, mother, crone. But it's more like she is the keeper of the maiden, the keeper of the mothers, and the keeper of the crones. But she never is one herself, which, I mean, aside from a maiden, she's a maiden goddess. I don't know, I think it's kind of interesting. Now, going back, one of the most prophetic, I would say, maybe, based on the way that I interpret the history that I've found, one of the most prophetic mentions of Hecate is in the Hesiodic and Orphic hymns, specifically the Hesiodic. Hesiod. Hesiod is his name. So he has the Hesiodic hymns. There will be a link in the show notes or in the description below, depending on where you're listening, for you to read the specific passage where Hesiod talks about Hecate. And in this reference, he talks about how Zeus is like in awe of Hecate. He loves her. He puts her on a pedestal. And even though all the other Titans are put in like jail, Titan jail, if you will, she is allowed to roam free and do what she pleases because he holds her in such high regard, as well as the fact that she's also a goddess of horsemen and seafaring men, which I thought was interesting. So let's move into Hesiod's Theogony a little bit more, just because he talks the most about her, it seems, or at least most cohesively, and he's from a place over in modern-day Turkey. It seems from the way he talks about her that Hecate was more of a household goddess. She wasn't so much revered or prayed to in temples, which I also thought was kind of interesting, because I am not someone I'm learning, specifically just like discovering about myself. I'm not someone that's very aligned with ceremonial magic. If you love ceremonial magic, heck yeah, do that for you. That is very cool. I just can't jive with it. I've never really been good at trying to like follow the directions and go in a very specific regimented order. That's why I'm really bad at baking. Don't eat anything that I bake. You might die. It is that bad. But cooking, where like I add the spices until I hear my ancestors go, "That's enough, child." That's about me. That's me. I'm more of like a folk magic, practical magic type of girl, like sweeping my doorstep in order to cleanse the house of bad energies, or opening all the windows while I clean and just having the intention of, oh, this house is clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I jive with, the like Appalachian folk magic. I'm all about that stuff. It fascinates me. But ceremonial magic, I can't do it. It's like math problems, you know, and baking. You got to be precise. You got to be accurate. You have to have all the steps laid out and know exactly what you're doing. And if you don't, it gets fucked up, my dude. So I can't do that. But I thought it was interesting that within the research, I found that Hecate was more of a household goddess, someone that were part of people's households in very like super, super cool ways. Little fact, I like country music. I'm sure I just lost a whole bunch of followers right now, but I grew up on farms and around horses, so like country music was just there. But I was listening to a Saturday like radio special with my son a couple weeks ago because my husband was working, and it was talking about how country music was specifically created in order to bring music that was relatable to households. And I thought that was really interesting because like if you weren't of high society and you couldn't have like all this fancy stuff, then you couldn't hear like the Vivaldi and the big bands and stuff like that were going on. I know Vivaldi's not during like when country music was created, but you had to like be of high society in order to hear certain music or music of the time. But country music was specifically created for common folk. And I just thought that was really cool. Like the people that played music in their house with the instruments that they had and the little non-fancy stuff that they could accumulate. And I don't know, that's kind of, I just thought it was endearing that Hecate was seen as a household or revered as a household goddess, because it just makes me think about like the relatability of a god or goddess. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about. As I've been learning more about gods and goddesses, there is a sort of antiquity to them that I think a lot of, maybe antiquity is not the right word. When I started doing readings, I will always remember this reading. My first interaction with a god or deity was that of Apalaki, who is a sun god for the Filipino culture, I believe. And I never thought that a god or deity would talk to a person. You know what I'm saying? Because like in our age, or at least where I've grown up and lived, you would think that gods and angels and deities, whatever it is that you want to clump all of those things into or not, they're like too good for you. They exist way higher and out of our bounds than so many people would even understand. So like it's something where like you send a message in the bottle and hope it gets received by them, but you would never think that they would send you a telegram back, you know? But that's not how it is. Like Apalaki literally stepped forward and was like, this lovely person did a dance for me and I see that and I hear them and I'm so excited about it. And that was crazy. Like, why was a god talking to me? Why was a god talking to this client to talk through me? Like, that was astounding. So I'm learning more and more that when it comes to gods and deities, we also have household deities. And reading that Hecate was one of those just makes it seem so much more like relatable. And that when you talk to a god or deity such as Hecate, it's not some unreachable thing. Like you'll never ever get in touch with the CEO of a company. You're always going to get their HR people or some other lackey that's going to like represent them. You're talking directly with them and they will come back and talk to you, or you'll feel that energy, that movement within your life. And it just freaks me out, my dudes. So another reason just to talk about her as a household goddess.
Geico makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? they just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through GEICO, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
Now, let's revisit the idea of her being a goddess of witches. I think that's interesting. Again, this a new word that was introduced to me from Fel LeBlith. She uses a word called retconning, which I'd never heard before. So I'm going to tell you what it is. She also tells you what it is, but I had to like stop and read it because it was easier for my brain to comprehend than like hearing someone say it. So retconning means to revise as an aspect of fictional work, typically by introducing a piece of new information that imposes a different interpretation on previously described events. So again, if we're talking about how gods and deities and their ideas of our ideas of gods and deities evolve as humans move forward in time, because gods and deities are here to represent the things that we go through, etc. And that's going to change as humans continue forward into the future. That would make sense as why Hecate now, so much more nowadays, is associated as a goddess of witches or witchcraft, because she deals with, there's a lot of different mentions of her with people in different stories, Greek mythology stories, I assume, where she is beckoned by or called upon by sorcerers and other like sorceresses, one of them being Medea, I believe. I think it was that Medea in her story, and we can go into the stories of Hecate maybe in a part two, because I think that's interesting to talk about. Medea was a sorceress, I guess, something with the golden fleece. She killed all of her children, and Hecate was somehow a part of it. She was mentioned by Medea saying that, you know, she holds a space in her house for Hecate in the hearth instead of the goddess of the hearth. So she's like, oh, I think Hecate's cooler, and just kind of like circumvented the god that the hearth is supposed to be given respect and responsibility for. So that might be one of the reasons why Hecate is associated with witchcraft, because a sorceress of like evil nature called upon her. But there's also other stories where Hecate is called upon by sorcerers or sorceresses to manipulate and bring forth the souls of people or ghosts, necromancy, if you will, the manipulation of souls for someone else's reasoning. And I think that also is why Hecate could be now underneath the idea of witchcraft. Also, if you're talking about, you know, people looking back on Hellenism, of the actual like Greek ideas and culture. There was something in here too. I gotta find it. It was something like Greek papyrus. Fel LeBlith talks about it. Let me see if I can find it. It's like the OG ancient texts of Greek culture. Ooh, let me see. The PGM, the Greek magical papyri. I guess there were a lot of people that evoked the association or wanted to evoke in the Greek magical papyri. There was the association of Hecate being the goddess of witches because of her association with spirits, not because she's magical or a witch. And it was just like the spells and stuff that people would use to try and get in contact with spirits. So if we're thinking about how the interpretation of information goes, like in the unicorn video that's on YouTube, where we talk about how the unicorn or the idea of the unicorn is just like a giant game of telephone, you have Hellenism, right? All like ancient Greek understanding of gods and deities. Then you have Alexander the Great, he falls. Now we have the Roman period. The Roman period is where Jesus Christ, Catholicism, Roman Catholic, Christianity, all of that stuff exploded. And then you have the classical age where that guy was learning about things. What was his name? We're going back again. Robert Graves. Robert Graves was learning about Greek and ancient Roman things from the classical age. So when you think about the transfer and interpretation of language and of information presented from one language and translated into the next and into the next language, you could probably start to understand how spells and ghosts and the idea of necromancy could 100% be turned into someone's interpretation within the classical age. So like a white dude from the West in the 1900s or the 1800s or the 1700s being like, well, that's a witchcraft, because let's talk about the witch trials, shall we? Exactly. Like, it wasn't witchcraft. It was just another person's culture being disseminated and put into another idea or category of how to interpret it or misinterpret it, depending on how you want to like argue that sort of that line of thought. So the other thing I do want to talk about when it comes to Hecate and her idea of being associated to witchcraft, this is something that I was talking about with my friends. Because if you think about witchcraft, you think about magic, right? The magic. It just comes from nowhere. No one knows where it goes. That's why it's magic. So for me, and I wrote a silly poetic post on Patreon about this, but what is magic? Life is magic. And Hecate deals with the changes in life. So hence, she could be associated with witchcraft and magic. But to me, magic is simply the movement of energy in order to change physicality. Magic has been seen as witchcraft, so Hecate is now put into that box. But magic is nothing more than moving energy with intention. And if we're talking about changes, moving energy with intention, dude, that's how you could say that's the only Hecate being associated with magic that I'm going to embrace. Like, she deals with life, and life is magic, and magic is the movement of energy with intent. Magic is the movement of energy to change physicality, and literally every single one of you are doing that every single day, just in varying degrees and varying ways. So that's the only magical Hecate or Hecate of witchcraft that I'm going to sort of go into, but that's just me. Now, let's talk about, I don't want to miss anything, and I know I'm going to, so if you guys have questions, please put them in the notes below or in the comments below, depending on where you're listening. Leave a review. I'll answer the questions in the review or ask them on a future podcast and then answer them. Now, some people say that Hecate is also the goddess of the underworld. And I think that comes from her Homeric hymn to Demeter, which is the abduction of Persephone or the story of winter, you know, depending on what you want to talk about it. And I think I might do a part two where we specifically talk about the more prominent ways in which Hecate was referenced in the Homeric hymns or the Hesiod hymns or other things that I can find, you know, like the Medea story of her mythology. Because I think the way in which you can see the energy of alignment that Hecate falls into is in those stories. And that's like a whole podcast in and of itself. But anyways, you know, sometimes Hecate is seen as the goddess of the underworld. And I think that is because of the abduction of Persephone story. And I was talking about this with my friend. What, like, there's so many ways you could dissect this. Like, the underworld could be seen as a very dark, scary place, right? Because that's where all the souls go in Greek mythology. And it could be like the underworld, not cool. It's not a good place to go. You never come back from it. But Persephone does. She does come back from it. And, you know, that's a transition too. Like, that transition from life to death. There are a lot of different places where Hecate is talked about being the caretaker of the young. And in this Persephone story, the abduction of Persephone, Demeter has to deal with the loss of her child to Hades for a third of the year. But she always comes back. Like, the loss of a child too, when they grow up and leave, that is a huge freaking change, my guy. And in this story, Hecate actually deals with Persephone when she's a child in a different child form. Like, she takes a different form in order to talk to children. I forget that name. I didn't write it down. I think it started with a K, Kore, maybe. And that's where she's seen as being the caretaker of children. Now, she also has a story where she goes to a wedding as a wedding attendant with Artemis, because Artemis, I guess, also helps or is seen as a goddess of like brides or like fertility, things like that. So in one story, Hecate and Artemis go to people's weddings, my guy. They're like the OG wedding crashers or like bridesmaids. And that, again, is a representation of a bride's transition from maiden life to being a wife. That's a huge transition in someone's world. The transition of coming into life and then leaving into death, being the keeper of souls. Specifically, Hecate is supposed to be the keeper of lost or wandering souls. So souls who died violently or very suddenly, she is the keeper of those souls. She protects them. She guides them. Again, that's a crossroads. Thresholds, a threshold into someone's house. Walking into someone's house is a very, very, very like intimate thing that I don't think a lot of people think that way anymore. Like they're like, oh, that's not a big deal. Or people don't even go into each other's houses anymore, honestly, like post-COVID world. But walking into someone's house, that's a really big thing. Protecting that, super, 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 super important. Marriage. She's also someone who was there at the presence of marriage. So like the bride. And then also, I guess there was mentions where Artemis and Hecate and Demeter, I think Demeter maybe. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on the Demeter part. I just know that within the birthing process, so from a woman becoming not just a wife, but a mother, as well as a baby coming into life. Like, that's crazy. Those are so many transitions in someone's world, a crossroads of directions. So if you were traveling too, see, Hermes kind of came in and stole this a little bit. He maybe stole a little bit of the thunder from Hecate, but a crossroads too of directions. Like, Hecate was used to help ask for guidance when you were traveling as well. And that sort of came over into Hermes too, which I think is a little interesting. So they share a little bit of a intersection with one another, if you will. So all of these things I think are really interesting. Now, the last thing I want to talk about before the end of the podcast today, and if there's anything that I forget, let me know in the comments below. I can talk about them later. I have like 6 pages of notes and I've been so nervous to talk about this. I feel like I'm going to forget about things anyways, but I'm going to try not to. Epithets. This is something that I talked about when we very, very, very started talking about getting into gods and deities for future podcast. Epithets. There are a few epithets of Hecate. One is called Enodia. Enodia is specifically known as the keeper of the keys as well as crossroads. There were actual festivals in Turkey for Enodia herself, and through history, she was just mixed and melded into Hecate herself. So one of Hecate's epithets is Enodia. And another one is Iphigenia. Iphigenia literally was this, she has her own story where it's a classic Roman or Greek freaking mythology satire, maybe. It's just like one of those silly sitcoms, you know? So there's like a family, they kill each other, and one story says Iphigenia dies, another story says that she doesn't. Either way, Athena is called upon to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and that's where the story of 12 jurors used in our democracy today comes from. But there is a caveat in one of the Iphigenia stories where, quote, by the will of Artemis, who is apparently a homegirl of Hecate, Iphigenia became Hecate, which... The last thing I'm going to leave you with before I talk about or just end the podcast is going to be going back to the idea of when you think of a god or deity, god or goddess, are they an actual like separate energy amalgamation to you, where it's like you were sitting in a room with another person and they represent all of those things, that mentor, that position of wisdom to give you the guidance that you need, revolving around all of the things that they are the god or goddess of? Or do you think that they're more of just an alignment of energy, of things that people have experienced and you can draw from wisdom because of the energy within that just section or vein in and of itself. Because when I think about the Iphigenia story, where Artemis says that Iphigenia doesn't die, she just becomes Hecate, I feel like because gods and deities, their perception, their personification, their persona is created in my mind by the lives and energy of people and human existence itself, I find it interesting by saying or reading, learning that Artemis says Iphigenia becomes Hecate. It's almost like when you go through these things, marriage, a crossroads in your life, being born, dying, going to a wedding, all of those things. It's like so many people have come before you. And I don't know, I find myself sometimes standing in a situation like this now as a mother, as a wife, that all of the people that came before me that went through the same things that I have, their wisdom just like thunderbolts or aligns with mine. And it's almost as if the wisdom of the people of the past speak to me synonymously to say, this is right or this is wrong, and here's the answer. Is that a weird thing to say? I don't think it's quite as prophetic as that. It's not necessarily like a thunderbolt of information. I'm just trying to like, I guess, romanticize it a little to make it more tangible, because it's not really something it's a feeling that isn't tangible, you know? Like, how do you describe something that isn't physically there? It's more so like Hecate could be the amalgamation of energy of people, women that came before us that went through all of those things. And when you ask for that help, all of those people sort of speak at once. It's like she is all of those people.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Anyways, that's sort of what I've been thinking about, and it's been freaking me out, and I hope you all enjoyed it. That was very nerve-wracking for me to do, but I appreciate you all being here. I have not talked about that I offer readings in a while, and then when people find out that I do offer private readings, they're like, wowee, I didn't know that. So I guess I should be better and say it like at the beginning or the middle of the podcast, but if you're all here now, if you're interested in a pet psychic reading or medium reading, you can find more information on the website, which will be listed in the description below or in the show notes, and if that's something you're interested in, great. If not, that's okay too. I still appreciate you being here, listening to my own journey of understanding spiritual things. And until next week, I hope you all keep it, I don't know, loosey-goosey and groovy. Peace.